Time and tide wait for no man. Time and tide wait for no man. The famous writer Geoffrey Chaucer in the 1300s, writer of the Canterbury Tales. My brothers and sisters, the experience of time is something uniquely human. We worry about time, past, present, future. Sometimes we want time to pass faster. Seems like it just won't pass. Maybe the old adage that a watched pot does not boil. I think back to my childhood days of hunting, being cold in the midst of the woods, and time seemed to hang still in the midst of the air, the cold air in the morning waiting for the sun to finally rise. Other times in our lives, we're so busy, we need more time. Time flies. And sometimes we even become slaves to that time, constantly thinking about all the things that we have to do in the midst of the world, and we don't have enough time to do it. We even this night will count down time. 10, 9, 8, 7, and so on. But my brothers and sisters, time is something that we often waste. We even procrastinate to avoid many of the responsibilities of our life, and we need to reflect upon our time, how it's used, so that we can glorify God. This evening, we take special note of January beginning, just past midnight. January comes from the name of the ancient and unique god, lowercase g, a myth, Janus, January. Janus was always depicted in the ancient Roman world with two faces on one head, looking back and looking forward. It was known as the god of the gateway, the doorways, beginning and endings, transitions, and ultimately time. So Janus was the gatekeeper of time. I come to present you this evening an idea of mine about the Blessed Virgin Mary, that in many ways she is the gatekeeper of time, past, present, and future. We know Mary from a title that's taken from the Roman word for Janus, Janua Caeli, meaning the gate of heaven. That by Mary we come to the very glories that await us. But Mary was foretold from the very beginning, the past. She has a lot to do with our present age in the way that she continues to be the mother of not only God, but the mother of the church. And she has a lot to do with our future. She already there, assumed into heaven and coronated, waiting beyond time for us. And so we go to the past. We'll walk through the past and the present and the future. Not quite like Scrooge on Christmas, but just slightly different. So we go to the past. Where is Mary found? Well, in many ways, we think of her as the new Eve. Eve who fell away from the way of the Lord by sinning wrong desire, by a lack of thy will be done, and rather she saying, my will be done. Following after the very image of our ancient foe, the devil, who says, I will not serve. All of that is really undone through the love of God and through the preparation of God and in the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary who says, thy will be done, by your word it shall be completed or fulfilled, and essentially I will serve. That's the very motto of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and she gets that from her son, from God himself, who says from the cross that he will serve no matter what, even serving at the Last Supper to wash the feet of his followers, the apostles. And so Mary is foretold there, but we think of her also as the Ark of the Covenant, that Mary is the one that will hold within her that which is the law. What was in the Ark? But the Ten Commandments, a sign of God's law that would give way to the greater, newer law that Christ comes to usher in. Someone greater leading the people of God than just Moses, purely a man, but a man who was divine, Jesus, her son. We look at Mary, that she is the mother of many descendants, is she not? That's why so often in this vestment, as well as in churches that are dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, you will see the night sky with stars. Who else is told to look up? Abraham, our father in faith. The one who looks up and sees the many stars as the descendants that will come to him through his line, and ultimately coming the salvation of the world, as we hear, in the fullness of time, so that we are no longer slaves to time itself, corruption and degradation, but rather we become sons of God, the eternal, one that is greater than time, the beginning, the end, the Alpha, and the Omega, the one that we are created for. Mary in the present. Mary, of course, is the mother of the church, of the many descendants that she continues to care for. We're called constantly within our faith to call upon the name of Mary to help us, to intercede for us. Jesus tells us from the cross to take her as our mother. And speaking about the motherhood of God, Fulton Sheen, the great archbishop, who we should pray for his canonization as we come closer and closer, he beautifully reflected upon and made sense of the motherhood of God. Mary being perfect, immaculately conceived. Why? Because if you could create your own mother, how would you make her? Perfect. And so Jesus, as God, is able to do so, and so he prepares the way with the Immaculate Conception, keeping Mary from the stain of sin, so that she becomes the gate by which God enters this world and the gate by which we will enter the next, that we will enter heaven. Janua Caeli, her famous Latin name. And then we look to the future. Mary already in heaven, there around the throne of God. Nothing about her but the glories of her Son and of God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's an image of a world without any envy and jealousy. Things that control much of who we are, especially in a more digital age where we find ourselves constantly comparing and contrasting our lives and the very value of our life based on often material things rather than the things of the Spirit. My brothers and sisters, it's very important that we celebrate this feast of the motherhood, the solemnity of Mary, on the eighth day of Christmas, what we know as the octave. Christmas is celebrated within the octave as if it's happening every single day. This is the completion of the octave. Eight, turn it on its side, it's an eternal sign, I often say. And so Christmas, the incarnation, is something that we will contemplate for all eternity. And if we contemplate the incarnation of Jesus, who else will we also contemplate? Mary. Her role in salvation, inseparable from her Son, and why the church gives us on this, the eighth day, the motherhood of God. A sense of venerating the Holy Mary, Mother of God. And so, my brothers and sisters, time waits for no man, nor does the tide as it continues to rise. But it does serve one woman, Mary, the gatekeeper of time, past, present, and future for those that believe in her Son and the salvation that he has brought. And also, she's so often referenced as one that we keep our eyes on in the turbulent waters of this world. St. John Bosco has a beautiful image of this, that he's given a revelation in a dream, that as the ship led by the Pope at the helm goes through the turbulent waters and wars and other ships and so forth, there ahead is what we see on the eternal shore of heaven. A pillar that is great, the tallest, which is the Eucharist, Jesus. Literally, his incarnation in the flesh before us. Every Mass is Christmas. Jesus comes to dwell among us for our salvation. He lowers himself so that we might be brought back to the Father in communion. But the other pillar that we have to keep our eye on, the two in front of us so that we aim through the gate, is the Blessed Virgin Mary. There she is, our mother who awaits us, who constantly prays for her children to come home safely. So, my brothers and sisters, I pray that you get home safely. Not just this evening on a snowy night, but as we look forward to the next year, that we continue to ask the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that we draw close through the devotions of the church that always draw us to Mary, but ever closer to her Son.